Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm so happy to see all of you here today. Just a few announcements. First of all, many thanks for all of your prayers this week. My mom's surgery was successful. She's actually doing a lot better than anticipated. She's at home right now, recuperating comfortably. She's a little sore, but she said that the pain is nothing like a knee replacement. So she's doing really well. And then secondly, please join me in celebrating my upcoming graduation with a potluck in Fellowship Hall after worship. It's come to my attention that there is way more food than people here. So please come on over and celebrate with me after worship. Next Sunday, Jim Gilchrist will be here and preaching. I'll still be here, but Arlie generously gave me the day off so that I could continue.
Graduation's Friday. I didn't know by Sunday I didn't.
Right. I still don't know how I'll be. So. Any other announcements that I missed? Anything we should? Deacons are still collecting cleaning supplies for the food bank in the beautifully decorated gold box back there. Any sort of cleaning supplies, paper products, things like that. Those are the types of things that people on government assistance can't purchase with their funds, and it really helps them out. Anything else? All right. With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Jesus has passed through the door of death and opened the way to the blessing of life. Still today, his presence can penetrate the barrier of our fears and give us peace. Now we may proclaim the beauty of forgiveness and the strength that community supplies. Christ is risen and he is here. Let us worship God who blesses us with life. Let us rise as a body, in body or spirit, and join in our opening hymn, God is Calling Through the Whisper. Friends, we come to confession not to wallow in our guilt, but because we know change starts with being honest. In a desire to grow and change, let us confess our sins before our loving God. Because you dwell in our hearts, eternal God, you know how the anger, pain, the bitterness of our lives try to crowd you out. The noise of the world deafens us to that word which can heal us. Our desire for revenge towards those who have hurt us shows that your peace indeed is not in us. You promise a new heaven and a new earth. So create new spirits and new lives within us, healing God. Your spirit, living within our souls, can teach us faithful ways. Your word whispers to us of your mercy, your hope, and your love. The word which can transform us is not some idle gossip, but good news for us. It fills us with forgiveness, equips us for service, and sends us forth to love others as God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem. friends, let us offer our prayers and thanksgivings for the world. Creator God, all creation lives to praise you. As the earth yields its blessing, may we honor and protect the precious gifts of nature and give thanks for the beauty, healing, and sustenance it provides for all. God, you bless your church throughout all the ages with leaders like Paul and Lydia to share in spreading the gospel. Give to your church this day a profound sense of the mission to which you now call us for the life and health of the world. You judge the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Give to all leaders and people the gift of wisdom and the spirit of peace, that we may walk by your light as we serve the common good. You promise to be with us always through the comfort of your Holy Spirit. We especially pray for people living and dying in war and those suffering through natural disasters. We ask that you give to all who suffer an enduring trust in Jesus, that joy will rise again. We give many thanks for the many blessings of our lives, especially the successful neck surgery for my mom, and for the hard work and guidance for all of those who are graduating from seminary this week. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the Holy Spirit, which journeys with us day by day as we follow you. You are the Alpha and Omega. We trust that you will hear our prayers and answer with what we need. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our hymn of meditation, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you.
That was a fun camp song. We've come to that time in our service where in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have received, we now return to God our tithes and offerings so that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. Giving God, all that we have and all that we are come from you. So we gladly share this offering that others too may be blessed for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Today's reading comes from Acts 13, verses 9 through 15. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Poseidon, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Bless the reading of the word.
So this is what happens when I don't look over everything before Sunday. You did, that was a wonderful job. But it was not the reading. I did say Acts 13. I meant Acts 16. No. So it's pretty quick. So I will go through it because my sermon will not make sense with what you just heard. So this is 100% my fault. So the scripture is Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to him. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was there from the city of Thyatira and a dealer of purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. I hope that makes more sense. Please pray with me. Living God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, fling wide the doors of our hearts this day as we hear your word of life, that we may open our lives to serve your world in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was like, she hasn't asked me for any pronunciations of names. So I'm very confident that you all know that Jesus is here. We've turned it into sort of a quasi-joke here at Glenshaw Valley, but I know that you believe that in a serious way. And this is a really important thing to know. And the presence of Jesus is great. Make no mistake. Don't get me wrong. His presence is something that we should definitely notice and be grateful for. But the thing is, it doesn't just stop there. God is omni-active, omni-revelational. God is showing up, but more than that, God is continually moving through and with us and revealing more and more about God's nature and plans for us. God transforms our worlds and invites us in to new journeys. I won't lie to you and say that it's always clear how or why the Spirit leads, why we go this way or that. Sometimes the why and how is clearly recognized right away. Other times it takes years. And then there are some of those things that we just aren't meant to ever understand. And even though the workings of the Spirit can be mysterious, we can surely believe that God is always at work. Today's scripture passage is an example of Paul's well-laid-out plans being disrupted, and the revelation of God in unfamiliar places and to very unlikely people. The Church of Philippi, you know that book, the letter to the Philippians, that church almost didn't exist. There were so many improbable events that took place in order for Lydia to become a follower of Christ. First of all, Macedonia was not on Paul's itinerary. There were no plans to make a stop in Philippi, even though Paul was redirected countless times to go there. The Spirit prevented Paul from going the wrong way at least twice. And then came Paul's vision of a man in Macedonia pleading for help that finally convinced him to head north. There was already controversy of teaching the gospel to the Gentiles, We talked a little bit about that last week. It wasn't clear that Christ's death and resurrection was meant for everyone. And women? Well, let's just say that women weren't the primary teaching targets. And that's one of the things that makes this meeting between Paul and Lydia just even more spectacular. We don't know a whole lot about Lydia, but she was a Gentile. She was an independent businesswoman, a rarity in and of itself. And she was selling purple cloths to the elite. She had a lot of connections. How on earth did she even come to a point where she was seeking to worship God? Divine intervention brings her to a secluded place of prayer. Did she expect to meet other women there, or Jewish or Gentile seekers? Did she come here regularly? Regardless, she surely did not know that she would meet Paul and his crew. Within all of this weirdness, Paul was also at God's disposal. I mean, yeah, there were a few times that the map was lost and Paul refused to ask for directions. Several reroutes later, Paul finally got on the right track. But yeah, Paul was open to being guided. Lydia heard and followed the nudging of the Spirit and followed where that led. This meeting took an inexplicable convergence of human faithfulness and divine intervention. It took Paul, Lydia, and the Holy Spirit working together for this chance encounter. But this passage of divine intervention isn't a unique happening in the Bible. God is demonstrably and intimately engaged with human affairs from the first chapter of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. These aren't just stories, and God didn't only lead the people of the past. It's taken me a long time to get to this place. Literally, this place right here. I think the first time that someone told me that I should go to seminary was in 1995. My Lutheran pastor at the time noticed my curiosity about God and the seriousness with which I took confirmation. But I wanted to be an art therapist. After finishing 1 year of college and finding myself in an insane amount of debt, I realized I couldn't afford a degree. As much as it pained me, I had to drop out of college. In 2002, I took a 2-year lay ministry certificate program through the Lutheran Church. And during that time, a few people mentioned seminary to me. Okay, I mean, I found a lot of things about the courses and the classes and intriguing and interesting, but I didn't even have a bachelor's degree. And there are so many other ways that you can serve God without going to seminary. I finally did get a bachelor's degree in anthropology and sociology and a minor in religious studies in 2010. I excelled at school. I loved my professors and I wanted to be just like them. I wanted to make my students' lives awful. They didn't really make my life awful. But there were two professors in particular that suggested seminary to me after as I was looking towards graduation. But you know what? I wanted to get a PhD and I wanted to teach. Then I experienced academia and I learned that these were not the people that I wanted to be surrounded by. As I made that difficult decision to leave after finishing my master's degree, several professors suggested I attend seminary. It was like a kick in the stomach. I rolled my eyes, gritted my teeth, and promised myself that I would never go to school ever again. I spent some time working in public relations as a faith outreach specialist, and I loved that job. I loved it so very, very much. I went around the state of New Mexico talking to clergy and leaders of other religious organizations, and it was so incredibly fulfilling. And when that job ended, I went on a pilgrimage, and my Presbyterian pastor advised seminary, and I remember literally scowling at him. I'm sure he has this in his head. And I told him how incredibly tired I was of people suggesting that. Why do people keep telling me that? During the summer of 2018, Pastor Seth went on sabbatical. And he put me in charge of liturgy and worship of the church for that summer. I learned a lot of lessons in those 3 months, few of which involved how to organize a worship service. Finally, when he came back, I told Seth that I would go to seminary, but there's no way I'm going to serve in parish ministry, okay? As I look forward to graduating next week, I think we all know how that turned out. There have been various instances of divine intervention throughout my life and have brought me to this place, despite how much and how long I have fought it. Here's the thing about being a follower of Jesus. You never know where you're going to end up next. This is often a difficult and confusing truth, especially when we have our own ideas about where we want to head. Still, God works with those things and guides us in and through all things, not just for good. Not just for good, but for what otherwise would be impossible. Divine intervention is written all over this week's passage. The Spirit prepares Lydia's heart to hear, receive, and understand the gospel. It brings Lydia to Paul so she can hear it. The Spirit places obstacles in Paul's way and directs him to Philippi, where Lydia is. And this reading from Acts reminds us that God's providence lures us beyond the familiar and invites us to push those boundaries of community norms so that we might embody God's life-transforming good news. Thankfully, God does not just tap us on the shoulder and then leave us alone to figure things out from there. God is a constant presence, guiding, advising, hinting, strengthening us for this journey into discipleship. And all I can say is thanks be to God for divine intervention. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our closing hymn, "You Shall Go Out with Joy."
shouts of joy. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy.
Yay! Before we leave this place and go back into the world, let me offer a blessing. Go forth with the spirit of wisdom and hope, with eyes enlightened and minds aroused by the power of Christ. Be assured that wherever you go, Christ is with you. Be kind to all who are sent your way because of the Holy Spirit who gives you the power. Amen.